This morning about the very important sugya of Aseh D'Chalos Aseh, and I couldn't really pass up on discussing. I know there's a lot of Gemara here, hard Gemara. I couldn't pass up the opportunity to discuss it. Especially there's some important discussions here in the Rishonim as well. I don't know if anyone had a chance to see this very long Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon, but it's really a great springboard to discuss the question of, firstly, which is more chamer, Aseh or Los Aseh. And if I were to ask any boy, bach, or any adult which one was more chamer, they would, I would imagine, answer that a lo sasei is certainly more chamer. Lo sasei has a punishment involved. There's malakos, if not worse. And an asei, you just mivata an asei. You miss a mitzvah, but you don't get punished for it. That would have been the first answer. And that's exactly where Rav Nissim Gaon writes. And Kuf Lam and Gimel, there's a very long discussion. He lists all the various examples of Aseh D'Chalos Aseh that come up throughout Shas. And just to pick out two lines here or so, if those want to read inside, I have an older Gemara. My Gemara is from my Bar Mitzvah. My uncle gave me a Shas from my Bar Mitzvah. So sometimes I buy a new Masechta, I'm learning a new Limud. But I didn't for this one for whatever reason, so I still have my old one. I didn't use it so much when I was Bar Mitzvah, but it's still the same one. So it's on my page, at least, Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. The Rav Nissim Gaon, the second column, the left column on the bottom. It's clear you could hear, you could pay attention if you don't want to look inside. He says that Ma Sha'anu Yodin Sha'az Haras Lav Kosha Mitzivei Aseh. So we know, he says, that the Lav is more severe than that of an Aseh. So once that's the case, you have to ask the question, then heyach yavo aseh v'yitcha ha'azar shalav. So if a lav is stronger, so how can aseh, which is weaker, bidoche elos aseh? Lav, shu chamur mimenu, lav is more chamur. And we know, it's yadua further, miderach hayadua, it's a basic knowledge, common sense, she'achamur doche akal, that the more stringent one should bidoche the less one. So los aseh should override the aseh. That's his very basic question. And his answer is that Azhara Shalav Kach Nemra. It was said in such a way, Miuchedes, in a very particular way, V'chi Hatzivoy Sha'aseh Tenayu. So this requires explanation. What he means is, the Lav was given only when there's no Aseh. But when there was an Aseh, the Lav was never no Geya. It wasn't that the Aseh is pushing off the Lav. The Lav isn't Shaykh there at all. The Torah says, keep shatne, it's an iser of shatnez, unless you're wearing tzitzis. When you're wearing tzitzis, the lav doesn't exist. Not because the tzitzis is being doch of the lav just doesn't exist. It's in a very small way. It's, in other words, a hutra. A similar thing that it just doesn't exist. It's mamish mutter completely. There's no pushing off anything else.
It sounds similar to when we say, suffik the rabbanon the kula, that in a makam suffik, the rabbanon never said the mitzvah.
Makam Safek. Hey, Mamu. Right, exactly. Said in this, exactly. Said only in certain places. Hey, Mamu. They said that they're bon and Shaykh here, but it's not Shaykh there. Very good. That's a good model. So the Lav is only Shaykh here, but it's not Shaykh where there's an Aseh. Just to give you a bit of a model as well, another mitzvah. We know there's a mitzvah when a person owns an Eved Kanani, the pasuk says, Liolam Behem Tavod. You have to always enslave them. You can't free an Eved Kanani. But the Gemara in Brachos and Gittin say that tell Maaser Rabbi Eliezer that there are 9 people for a minyan, and they needed a 10th. So Rabbi Eliezer took his Eved Kanani, he freed him. He was a Meshachar, his Eved Kanani. So the Gemara says, isn't there an Issa Deraisa freeing an Eved Kanani? And the Gemara says, because it was for a mitzvah derabim, mitzvah shiny, different yourselves. For the purpose of mitzvah, of a minyan, you're allowed to push off the Issers. How does that work exactly? So the Ramban and Sefer Achinuch both say, they have a machlok, because I forget who says which way, but one of them says because Aseh D'Chalos Aseh, because really freeing an Eved is sort of giving a free gift. It's lo sechanim. We can't give free gifts to goyim, right? You can't give a free gift, and freeing them is giving a free gift. But when there's a mitzvah Aseh, so the Aseh of davening the Rabbim, or whatever the Aseh is, that's doche, the lav of lo sechanim, the lav of freeing an Eved. It's an Aseh D'Chalos Aseh. But I think it's a chinuch that says, no, it's not an Aseh D'Chalos Aseh at all. The chinuch writes that it's only usur when you're doing something for free, when you're giving the free gift to go out and be free. But when you're gaining something from it, The lav wasn't mentioned. You're not, it's not a free present anymore. That's a kiyum. You're gaining something. That's not free anymore. You're gaining something and there's a hanah out of there. So lav wasn't even spoken of. So here as well, says the Rav Nissan Gaon, since the lav is more chomer, well, it wouldn't make sense for an asay to be dochet. The only explanation is if the lav just doesn't exist. It's not even shayach when there's a case of a mitzvah. That's the understanding of Rav Nissan Gaon. And again, the assumption is that a lav is actually more chomer than an asay. This idea,
well,
yeah.
If a lav is more chomer, then why would the Torah say by an asay there's no lav?
Right. So yeah. So we'll hopefully explain a little bit from Rav Kluger, who might touch upon this concept of this idea of why the Torah said it such a way. But that was the Torah's kavana, Hashem's kavana. Now, sharing in this camp that a lav is more chomer is the Zohar. The Zohar writes that we're going to get to the Ramban in just a second. But the Zohar writes that los asays are higher than asays because we know Yud Kei Vav Kei Hashem's name is in everything that we do. But in terms of los asays, the Yud and He are connected to los asays, and Yud and He are higher forms of parts of Hashem's name. And the Vav and He are considered mitzvah asay. That's the lower level. That's the understanding. That's what the Zohar writes. So the Rav Nissan Gaon shares in good company with the Zohar that a lav is in fact a higher level than a mitzvah asay. But all the other Rishonim seem to argue on this idea, and the most famous one is the Ramban. The Ramban is quoting from Rav Nechunya ben Akana, the author of the Sefer Abahir, talking about the difference between Zachar and Shamor. Zachar and Shamor, B'dibur Echad, Hashem said both, where Zachar is mitzvah asay, which is the Kiddush Hayom, and perhaps Gimel Sudos, and Shamor is the los asays of Torah, of the Shabbos. So in this discussion, the Ramban says, well, when you do mitzvah asay, when you're doing something positive, you're connecting, you're showing love of Hashem, we put tefillin on, you're showing you want to have this Baruch Hu be close with you. Right? The Sfarim write that a mitzvah is a lashon of tzavtza, tzavtza in Aramaic means the company of, to be in partnership with. So mitzvah asays are creating ava, creating relationships. And los asays are negative, you're avoiding the yira. So that's the basis of the Ramban, that mitzvah asay is ava, and mitzvah los asay is yira. And we all know that ava, love, is a greater way to serve Hashem. The greatest way to have a relationship with a spouse, with a parent, is through ava, not through yira. No one wants to be punished or disciplined or told what to do. People rather connect in a positive way, having conversations, spending time with each other. So ava is greater than yira. And that's why, says the Ramban, since mitzvahs asays are ava, and ava is greater, so that's why an asay is doche elos asay. Because asay is more significant, it's more chomer, more severe, than elos asay, based on this parallel of ava and yir. So this is the Ramban saying differently, that an asay is actually more chomer than elos asay. Marsha says the same thing, And Shlomo and Jacob had a good question on this Marsha. I looked at Rav Asher Weiss, who discussed this. He also had the same question as you. Doesn't have a good answer. But the Marsha says that an asay and a los asay, it depends on the action versus non-action. That's what you have to look at. Not ava versus yira, but maisa versus shevi al tasa. So in terms of violating avera, which is worse? Well, bimavat an asay is the shevi al tasa. I just didn't wear tittus. I didn't put tittus in my dalat kanfos. But when I did the lava of eating the vela, that's an asay. So more, when there's an action, so that makes sense why a lava is more chummer in the world of violating something. But when you're fulfilling a mitzvah, so when I'm putting on tzitzit, I'm putting on tefillin, I'm performing a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah. That's more chummer in terms of the fulfillment of a mitzvah. So they pointed out, as did Rav Asher Weiss, well, when I do the avera of eating the vela, that's also a maisa. They're both a maisa. If I'm doing a lava, I'm doing a mitzvah, they're both involved in maisa. So each one has a ma'isa. So why is a asay greater than the mitzvah, the ma'isa of the lav? So Rav Asher Weiss didn't have an answer for this either. But somehow the Marsha says the ma'isa of a mitzvah asay is more significant than the ma'isa of a lav.
Isn't it that he's saying that your two options are to do the asay or be mekayim the los asay, which would be not doing? So he says, Mamela, you're going to choose to do the asay even if you're going to do the los asay, but since the inherent structure of a los asay is not to do, he says to choose the asay.
Could be, very good. It could be that. that when you're fulfilling the lav, that means you're not doing anything. It's a shevi al taser. But the problem with that is when I'm putting on tzitzis with shatnez on it, I'm doing an asay, I'm also doing a los asay. At that very moment, I'm violating the lav while also fulfilling the asay. So those are two actions taking place at the same time. But you're right, granted, if I'm going to fulfill a maisas mitzvah and fulfill a los asay is a shevi al taser in that fulfillment of it. But when they clash with each other, they're both maisim.
But even by shatnez, if you were to be mekayim los asay, is not for shatnez. So the only way to be mekayim los asay is not to do, I'm saying. So the mela, you're always going to choose the asay, which is doing, even when they clash.
I hear. So of those two options, wearing is better than not wearing.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Okay, I hear. Okay, it could be. I hear that. But either way, the Marsha assumes that in the world of fulfillment of mitzvahs, the asay is greater than the los asay. And the Chizkuni also is on that same side of the Ramban and the Marsha, but for a different reason. He has this big chiddush based on the Pasuk in Mishpatim, that every asay actually is a los asay to it. So it never stands alone. So it's always, why is asay doche los asay? Because it's really an asay and a los asay, which is doche just one los asay. And based on the Pasuk, he quotes in Mishpatim, the Rashi comments on this, that there's a lav that's violated every time a person violates a mitzvah's asay. Okay, so this is, the basic difference is whether a lav is more chamer or whether his asay is more chamer. And that's going to dictate how to understand asay docha los asay. Because if you assume a los asay is more chamer, so how come asay docha is los asay? It's only because you have to assume, like Rav Nissen Gaon, that lav doesn't exist. It's a hutcher. It doesn't exist when there's asay. But if you assume that really asay is stronger because of the ava, because of the maisa, because it has a lav with it also, then you're always doche, it's a b'duchuya, it's pushing away the lav. Those are the two explanations, two different camps. Yeah, Chesky.
Just to bring in with this, how much of an influence from the world of Pnimius has on this, exactly what I'm saying. He says, mitzvah los asay, ishraki chidka, which it's up there, but then in every mitzvah asay, there's also a los asay within it. That's the Shar mitzvah says it.
Ah, very good.
I mean, it gives the cause that a mitzvah asay has both them within it.
Yeah, stronger. Very good. We're going to see if Kluger's going to explain how really they're very much intertwined, like what you're saying. Okay, so now there are a number of nafkaminas between asay and los asay, and which is more chamer, which is not as chamer. But one interesting thing is, I'm not sure if you had a chance to see the Tosefes Yom HaKippurim on Maseches Yuma Daf Pei Gimel. There, the Mishnah Daf Pei Gimel is talking about, let's say a person is ill with something called bulmus, which he needs to eat food to give him strength. And the question becomes, let's say you're stuck with two different Yisurim. You could either eat, a pig, a chazer, and the Gemara gives the whole thing, a chuma, and a whole series of questions, which is worse. And the Gemara says you always should give the less of the Yisurim, the least of the Yisurim. This happens to remind me of an incredible story about this concept to a certain extent. Not quite, but it just triggered my mind. It's a very powerful story. Shechta shared the story with me. And he said he was learning with a boy in NCSY Kolel, I'm not sure how many summers ago. And the boy doesn't come from home. I don't know where, some state, maybe Ohio, somewhere, Columbus, I don't remember exactly where. And the boy was saying that his family only serves treif meat. That's all they serve. They won't give him anything kosher. I don't know how he ended up in NCSY Kolel, but that's the situation he's in. And he would refuse to say a bracha on the treif meat, so he'd always wash. And the bread was kosher. Every single meal he would have at his home, he would always be makbet to eat the bread first, to say the bracha on the bread. He'd eat the meat. He'd eat the treif meat. He had no choice. That's all he had. His parents would make him eat it. But he would dafka say the bracha on the bread, so he wouldn't have to say bracha on the treif meat. That's the world this guy's living in. Rav Shecht, of course, was bowling when he tells the story over the mesiras nefesh that this kid did and the sensitivity this kid has to go through every single day. But when it comes to this individual who's sick has to eat Isurim, so we always go the least of the two Isurim. So what happens, the Tosafot Yom HaKippurim wants to know, let's say there's an option between Tevel and Shvis. Tevel, where you have food that hasn't been tithed yet, no Chumah Maisur is given, you have the option of eating Tevel or Shvis. So the Rambam says that you should go for the Shvis because eating Sviche Shvis, I don't want to get involved in the Shemitah, but that's only an Isur Midivrei Sofer. So says the Rambam, let's say it wasn't Sviche Shvias. Let's say it was a real Isser of eating Shemitah fruits that were an Isser Deraisa. it sounds like you should eat the Shavuos and not the Tevil. So he says, wait a second, why is that the case? Shavuos is only in Isser Aseh. There's Isser Aseh eating Shavuos and Nevela, not Tevil. Nevela is a lav. So he learns from the Rambam that actually Aseh is worse than a lav. Again, the scenario that the Rambam doesn't talk about, but he infers from the Rambam is, if you have Shavuos versus Nevela. Nevela is a lav, and Shavuos is an Aseh. Which should you eat? You understand from the Rambam that you should actually eat the Nevela and not the Shavuos. Why is that the case? So he concludes it must be because the Aseh of Shavuos, Aseh is more chomer than the lav. That's what he concludes from this. He says, like the Ramban says, Ava is greater than the Yira. Aseh is greater than the lav, and therefore you should eat the lav instead of eating the Aseh. So that would be an afkamina. That's an afkamina. If you have the option of a lav versus an Aseh, which should you choose to violate? So the Rambam says the Aseh, and those who think that a lav is more severe, you should actually eat the Shavuos, eat the Aseh, and not eat the Neveh. That's how Lechora, Rav Nissen Gaon, would explain. Other rise at which one's more chamer in terms of tshuva. When it comes to tshuva, the Gemara Numa tells us when it comes to mitzvah, all you have to do is just ask for mechila, and then the Gemara says einozaz mishamat shinim chalav. You get tshuva right away. When it comes to lo sasei, you need to still wait for Yom HaKippurim to completely wipe out the lav, which indicates that a lav is more chamer. There's another interesting halacha: how much money a person has to spend to fulfill an aseh versus avoiding a los aseh. So the Din the Rama brings down in Simon Tav Reish and Vav, he says, Ein adam chayv levaz beis hon rav al b'mitzvah. So you have a mitzvah, if a guy can't afford to buy tzitzis, or even to buy tefillin, near Chanukah, certain things you have to go above and beyond if you need to. But you don't have the money, so you don't have to spend all your money. You don't have to go broke to fulfill an aseh. When it comes to in Yardaya, the din is that a person is chayv to spend all the money in the world to avoid a lav. So a person's situation, I get this sometimes, a person goes to a hotel, he's there for Shabbos, either vacationing or stuck for business or just stuck because of travel. So how do I get to shul on Shabbos? I need to go through the doors and this and that, and I need to take a bus ride, whatever it might be. So the answer is, yes, davening is very, very important. It is. But more important is keeping Shabbos and keeping lavim. And a person has to use all the money in the world to ensure that he's not violating any lavim. So we see that a lav is more chamer than that of aseh. Aseh is only till the limit, only a certain amount of money to spend to do an aseh, to buy lulav and esrog, to buy a sukkah. But for a lav, all the money in the world. So we see from there that a lav is more chamer. And there's a machlokis. The Marid Agazi has a discussion about svek sveka when it comes to a mitzvah aseh. We know when it comes to a svek sveka by a lav, so then a person's pater from a svek sveka. But let's say a svek sveka, I don't know, I can't think of a case right now, but let's say this svek sveka by a mitzvah aseh. So would we say a guy's pater? Let's say, I don't know, the guy, he's in the midbar, he wasn't sure what day it was, and he may have fulfilled the lulav beforehand, so he wasn't sure if he fulfilled the lulav, and he's in a place not even sure if it's sukkahs anymore. So it's a double suffix, let's say. I don't know if that's a really good svek sveka, but does he have to be machmir to fulfill the mitzvah or not? And Marid Agazi says no. Just like by a svek sveka of a lav, you don't have to. And a svek sveka of a mitzvah, say you don't have to do it either. But Marid Agazi writes in a different place in Maseches Becharos, he thinks no. That by a say, you would have to be machmir by a svek sveka. So we see that there, the assay is more chamer. So there are many discussions, many nafkaminas, as to which one is more chamer. Rosher Weiss, I don't know if you've seen this, they're already out for several months. He has a Minchas Asher and Klalei HaMitzvah. It's a beautiful sefer. He talks about all these concepts of Zerizim Akhtin LeMitzvahs, Ein Mavrina HaMitzvahs, Aseh Tocholos, Aseh. So he's Mechadish. It sounds like what he's being Mechadish, like the Maharsha said. But he quotes a Meshech Chachma who says this as well, that in reality, it really depends whether a person's being Mekayim HaMitzvah or being Mevatel HaMitzvah. In terms of fulfillment of mitzvahs, so, I'll read the Lashon of Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma writes, he quotes the Ramban, and explains the famous reason why Aseh Zdocha Lo Saseh, because of the Ava. He says, he explains, Aseh Zdocha Lo Saseh, the Af de Lo Saseh Chamer, even though the Lo Saseh is more Chamer, still, nonetheless, when it comes to doing a ma'isa, the ma'isa of an aseh is greater than the ma'isa of a lav. Second here, I should have read this language. But either way, he says when it comes to fulfilling a mitzvah, so that's when you say asis do chalos asay. But in terms of a person's mevatel an asay versus mevatel a lav, then we say the lav is more chamer. So violating them, a lav is more chamer. There's a punishment. It requires greater tshuva. But in terms of fulfillment of it, so a fulfillment of an asay, which is a ma'isa. But while fulfillment of a lo sasei is a shevi al tasei, so then in the fulfillment angle, so then we say the ava of the asei is in fact greater. So that's the understanding of Rav Asher Weiss, how he deals with these various stiras throughout Shas. There is an incredible discussion. Rav Kluger re-explains in Panemius really what's going on between asei lo sasei, this question. It's in Mechon Shiftecha. He first raised the question that we know by an asi docha lo sasei, the Gemara tells us that if you have the option of avoiding the clash, you should avoid the clash. If efshir lasos shneim, if you could do both of them, don't try to deal with the clash. So, for example, this example of tzitzis is not a good example, but let's say, that's not Saras isn't a good example either. But whatever the example might be of your efshe lakaim shneim, better to avoid the clash and to do asay separately and fulfill the los asay if possible. But Tosas writes in Meseches Yevamos Dal Rebeis that although that's true by all asay dochelos asays, when it comes to tzitzis, we actually say we dafka want you to violate the shatness. We dafka want you to wear tzitzis with tchelis to be docha the shatness. Even though it's efshe ayde shneim, you could still perform mitzvah tcheles and not wear shatnez, dafka we want you to wear the two. So what's unique about tzitzis that we dafka say you should? Now the Rambam argues on the Tosas. The Rambam says even with shatnez and tcheles, a person shouldn't wear. But Tosas writes that tzitzis is different, that we dafka want you to wear shatnez when wearing tcheles. So he explains that it's a different approaches here. There are really a number of different things going on here. I hope I say it clearly here. But he says that, he talks about the example of Yivamos, a Yibum and Chalitza, that Yibum, that the brother-in-law steps in the shoes of his brother. And moments ago, the brother-in-law was usher to this sister-in-law. It was usher because of the kirva, because the closest they had, that's Arayos. But now suddenly the brother dies, so now he's the only one who's allowed to marry her in this state. So it's Dafka, the kirva, the close relationship that they have, is what really becomes the reason why they're allowed to marry each other now. And there's this steer that goes on, where it goes on to explain, anytime there's a steer of opposites, that's really, be'etzim, it's really one and the same. There's no real steer anymore. Right? In this world that we live in the Olam Asiyah, so we're all different. And we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as working in different ways. Rachum, V'chanun, his chesed and din, it all looks very different. It looks like different sides of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we know, be'etzim, when you go up to a higher level, so then the Kadosh Baruch Hu is all the same. There's no difference of a Kadosh Baruch Hu being chesed and din and rachmim, and it's all the same. But in this world where there's differences, that's where you see asay dochalos asay, the two differences. But when we look up in Shemai, much higher, an asay is a los asay. A los asay is really an asay. Ava is yira. Yira is ava. It's all the same thing. We just don't realize it in this world. That's what the Mishnah tells us in the Masech, in the end of Masechus Makos, that a person who's a Yoshev Ubatel, v'lo avar avera, it's ke'ilu, he's a mekayim and mitzvah aseh. That means anytime you're fulfilling a lav, be'etzim, it's really fulfilling an aseh. Because every lav is really an aseh, and every aseh is really a lav. That's what the Chizkuni said. Right? Every aseh is really a lav. So it's all really ava, zira, years, ava. Aseh is a los aseh is a aseh. And the old masiyah, in the world that we have to do things, so we can only, I can only do one thing at a time. I can only either do, I can either punish the kid or I can reward the kid. I can't do the same. But if you live in the world of a higher level, in the world that's called the machshava, the world of machshava, so I could think anything I want. There's no limit to my machshava, to my ratzon. There's no limitation. I could think I could have all the money in the world. I could think I can know kol tarkula. Now, lemaisa, I can't. Lemaisa, I don't. But in the world of machshava, you could have all the possibilities. So even that which seems to be a stira, in this world, in the world of machshava, there's no such stira. It's all really one and the same. And that's what it means when the Arizal says the assay is really, the lav is really higher up. And then the Ramban says really the assay is higher up because they're talking about two different angles. And he explains the dafka, the tzitzis. Why dafka tzitzis? So Kluger explains dafka tzitzis because the world of the Arizal explains this, but I'm going to use the terms that we understand, that the talis that surrounds us, the Orah Makiv, the talis around us represents, you know, the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all one. It fills the whole entire world. The tzitzis, the strings, is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzamtim himself into, you know, here's a chesed in the string, here's din, and here's netzach, here's hod. Those are the strings coming down. But it's really, really part of one achdus. The talis is one achdus. So that's the idea of a tzitzis, that's dafka, the area where you see the two opposites come together, and it's really the same. It's one and the same. Kain and Hevel. Shatan is Kalaim is all one and the same. Even though they look like they're contradicting each other, it's all one and the same. And that's why he adds, the Ma'aril says the practice is that we don't wear talis until after we get married. Because a chas and a kala, husband and wife, ish v'ish, are two opposites. But that's them, they're not opposites. They're really mashmi each other to be one. So the talis goes over the head is really to show the achdus of them being really one and the same. They're not the opposites. So really, hainu hachan, that's why the big day kahuna. The Kohen Gadol, they wear a big day klaim. They wear clothing at shatnez. They're the opposites from each other. Because in the world of the Beis HaMikdash, it's all the same. Where everything's so clear. The Kodesh Kedoshim, it's all one. It's all together. And that's how he explains, he gets down. That's exactly machlokas, whether Aseh Docheh Lo Aseh is a duchuya or a hutra. Depends which world you're looking at. If you're looking in the world we live in the Olam HaAsiyah, so then there's a stira. Aseh Docheh Lo Aseh are two different things. They have to push each other off. If you're working and looking in the world Olam HaMachshava, higher up, it's all the same. Aseh Lav, it's all one and the same, and therefore it's a hutra. It's completely permitted because there is no world of contradiction. That's the ending of Aseh Docheh Lo Aseh. So I want to finish off just one piece. I imagine no one really got here, but just because it's important, bringing back to Bismillah for a moment, just to leave with one idea here. There is a question that the Achronim deal with, which is based on the Tosfos in Pesachim. This is a Tosfos in Zvachim, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, where he has this concept that an asay sheyesh bo kares is able to be docha alav, and you don't even need a pasuk for this. Right, we only have two assays, Sheish Bekaris, which is a carbon Pesach and Bismillah. So he's talking about this idea of an assay, Sheish Bekaris, is Doche a Los Assay. And it can even be Doche an assay and a Los Assay as well. So the Divrei Chaim and others ask this question, so how come we don't find this by a Gadol? A Gadol who doesn't have a Bismillah yet. If you take a look inside number 6, let's read this together. You see number 6, Divrei Chaim. So he asks, if you look at the second paragraph, he first quotes the Tosfos in Zvachim, then he says, Hikshem alas kavat terasol Divrei Tosfos Zvachim, she'aseh dekares is doche alos aseh v'aseh. We find that by Karim Pesach. Im kain, lamali basar begadol. Why do we need a special exeris akasiv by a gadol? Hallo, belav hach, even without a pasuk by a gadol, ase de kares, docha ase velos ase? That's his question. You don't need a pasuk to tell me that a bris mila of a gadol is docha and ase velos ase, because it's an ase shios bekares, bris mila has a kares to it. That's his question. And I'll give you the answer, and we'll leave off with this. Hopefully we'll have time to spend on this at greater detail. He quotes the famous Rambam, Lefianias Daiti, Eina Mote Aseisha Karis, Begadol. There is no Karis. Mm-hmm. Ah, don't we know that there are two mitzvahs Aseis, Sheish Bekaris, there's Karim Pesach and Bismillah. So he's Mechadish, not Mechadish, Rambam is Mechadish, the Ne Rambam, Hilchas Mila, Perak Al Falacha Bez, the Choyom Vayom Sheyavor Alava Mishiyigdal, a person gets older, doesn't have a Mila, says the Rambam, Lo Yimol Es Atma, doesn't give himself a Bismillah, Harei Mevatim, it's Asei, just a bit Asei. The only time he gets karis is when he dies without a bris milah, then the karis kicks in after death. How that works, what karis is, that's another discussion. The Ravid says, no, every single day of this guy's life he has karis on his head. It is an asa yeshba karis. So the Raavad, there's still a question. But for the Rambam, who says there's no kares until the guy dies without a milah, so then we understand that this is not an aseh sheyesh be kares. And for that reason, we taka do need a pasuk to prove how the gadol is able to be docha an aseh and a los aseh. So there's a big conversation of when the kares kicks in. Is it when the guy's a bar mitzvah without a bris milah, which is the Raavad shita, or only after misa? So hopefully at some point we'll discuss this. Tomorrow, we're going to go weiter in the Gemara, and Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. We're going to discuss, I think, I want to discuss this interesting topic of tzaras, about a nega tahara. We know certain tzaras are mutter, and certain types of tzaras is actually tahor. So in terms of removing a nega tzaras that's tahor, what exactly that is serves and how it plays out here in the sugya, and then we'll continue with Bris Mila sugya is going weiter.